Good afternoon, everyone. I am calling the March 10th, 2023 meeting of the Arizona Board of Occupational Therapy Examiners to order at 1:32 p.m. Next item of business, agenda item 2, roll call.
Christopher Daly.
Present.
Charlene Marks.
Present.
Clint McAllister.
Present.
Barbara Paulson.
Present.
Our executive director, Shana Ganatra.
Present.
Our assistant attorney general, Mark Harris.
Present.
And myself, Vicki Garola, licensing specialist.
Considering that we have established a quorum, having all of our board members present today, the next item of business is agenda item 3. Declaration of conflicts of interest. Do any board members have anything to declare?
This is Barbara Paulson. I have none.
And McAllister, I do not either.
Charlene Marks, I have none.
And Chris Daly, none. Considering that there are no conflicts to discuss, the next item of business is agenda item 4. Discuss, amend, and approval of meeting minutes. Looking at agenda item 4.1, regular session meeting minutes of January 13th, 2023. The meeting minutes have been distributed. Are there any corrections to the January 13th, 2023 minutes?
Barbara Paulson, I saw none.
Chris Daly, I saw none either.
With that, I will make a motion to approve the meeting minutes. Quentin McAllister.
Chris Daly, I second the motion. All in favor?
Christopher Daly.
Aye.
Charlene Marks.
I'll abstain since I was not at that meeting.
Thank you, Quentin McAllister.
Aye.
And Barbara Paulson.
Aye.
Motion passes. 3 ayes, 1 abstention. Agenda item 4.2, regular session meeting minutes of the February 10th, 2023 board meeting. The meetings have been distributed. Are there any corrections to the February 10th, 2023 meeting minutes?
Mr. Chair, I will go ahead and just make a motion that we approve the meeting minutes from the February 10th, 2023 meeting.
I'll second that motion.
It is moved and seconded that the February 10th, 2023 meeting minutes are approved as distributed. All in favor?
Christopher Daly.
Aye.
Charlene Marks.
Aye.
Clint McAllister.
Aye.
Barbara Paulson.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Next item of business, agenda item 5, review and consider future board meeting schedule. A, April 14th, B, May 12th, and C, June 9th. Do any members of the board have any scheduling conflicts at this time?
Not at this time.
Not at this time.
Not at this time.
And none for me as well. Considering there are no conflicts, the next item of business is agenda item 6, review, consideration, and possible action for complaints. 6A, initial review. 6B, review, discussion, and possible action. We have none for either agenda item. Considering that we have no complaints to review, the next item of business is agenda item 7, review and consideration and possible action on applications for licensure. Item 7A, initial applications, we have none. Item 7B, renewal or reinstatement applications. B1, we have a reinstatement application for Monika Vukasovic. And in brief, Ms. Vukasovic was on the February agenda and her attendance was requested at the March board meeting. Her occupational therapy license expired on December 16th. We received a renewal or reinstatement application on January 14th. Ms. Vukasovic ceased OT practice on January 23rd, and over the period of time when her license was expired, she saw four clients for a total of 16 visits, calling into question Arizona Revised Statute 32-3401-10Z. And Ms. Vukasovic provided a detailed explanation of the administrative error and oversight. But Ms. Vukasovic, would you like to make a statement to the board at this time?
Sure. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. First, I apologize about my misunderstanding of not being here at the last board meeting. I had written down the wrong time. I was so excited and so sure of it that I didn't double check it. But in regards to the license, I am very eager to return to practice. Ever since being made aware of the situation, I have ceased practice and have since started a waiting list in order to be in alignment and in integrity with the board. And I do apologize for it was truly just a lack of oversight in I did not recall getting a letter in the mail, and I was used to that, and I had saw the email, and honestly, I thought it was spam, which is my fault, but that's part of what had caused the delay in the licensure, and so I am hopeful and eager that it can be reinstated, and I did see that there's a 180-day for the renewal of the license, that looks like there's like a, that it can be reinstated within 180 days. So I'm eager to be here and eager to do what I can to make it right and hopefully get it reinstated ASAP. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do any of the board members have additional questions?
I don't have any questions, Mr. Daly.
Ms. Vukasovic, just a quick question regarding the total number of days that you treated clients for those four clients and the 16 visits. Approximately how many treatment days do you think that was equivalent to?
It's a good question, because part of the reason it's low for, like, if you're considering a full-time OT, it's because I'm in the midst of doing an innovative practice. So I think it was a couple weeks, maybe 3 weeks.
Was it every day for 5 days a week for 3 weeks?
There, I think, I can pull up the exact days. It was 3, maybe 4 weeks at most. And I don't think it was every day, though. I think there were some days where I just didn't have a client that day.
Mr. Daly, if I may, previously, I think what my understanding of how we utilize the rubrics was is the date expired to the last date of treatment that we were brought aware of, not individual days with treating clients. I don't know if that will help you or not.
Yes, thank you, Dr. McAllister. That's helpful.
So do we know when the last date was? therapy provided?
So the, I can pull it up and find it out. So the Monday after I submitted it, because I learned on the weekend, I paid it as soon as possible that weekend. Because this has never happened, I actually assumed it was fine, that there was like a grace period and I could just continue to see since I had paid the license. So that Monday I saw one person, and then I received word that Monday that the request was that I stop seeing any clients. So that Monday after I submitted my application.
Okay, after January 14th.
If I may, it's stated in the letter that you had written, once I received the call from notification from Vicki later in the day on 1/23/23 that I could not see clients, I immediately postponed all appointments and alerted my management. Could that be the date?
Yes. Yeah. I don't have my calendar up. Sorry.
Thank you, Ms. Ganatra.
And Chris Daly, just reading off the rubric, just revisiting this for a moment. I'm just looking at the under item one, calendar time is 1 day to 1 month. Practice time is 19 days or less. And then looking at item two, there's quite a jump anywhere from 1 to 6 months and practice time of 20 days to 119 days between those two items and our decision rubric. So I just wanted to bring that to everyone's attention as we're just discussing the matter. And Chris Daly, if there is no other discussion, I move that we make our decision looking at the rubric, considering that there was the time period between 12/16 and January 23rd total time. And considering that there were only a total of 16 sessions, I move that we go forward with item one on our rubric and issue a letter of concern.
Okay.
And forgive me.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, forgive me, Mr. Daly. I don't have the rubric. I can't place it at this time. Is that the 0 to 30 days? If I'm recalling.
Yes, correct. So for clarification, I move that we issue a letter of concern based upon the rubric item one, calendar time 1 day to 1 month, practice time 19 days or less.
Ms. Paulson, you were getting ready to say something. I apologize.
No, that's okay.
Okay. I'll second the motion. I think that's a reasonable if there's no other discussion.
I was kind of looking to the OTs to come up with that.
there's a lot of holiday time that blocked.
Okay.
It is moved and seconded that we issue Ms. Vukasevich a letter of concern for practicing without a license. Non-disciplinary letter of concern. All in favor?
Christopher Daly?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Clint McAllister?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much, Ms. Vukasevic.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Certainly.
Do you, so what does that mean in regards to actual practice and being able to continue practicing? Or have a reinstatement?
If I may, so as of this meeting date, your license is reinstated and you will be receiving your license from the board.
Awesome.
And just one comment for me, Ms. Vukasevic, I encourage you to come up with your own system to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, I signed up for
a very reliable agency, but yes. Professionally it makes sense for you.
100%. And I did that, actually. I signed up for a service to kind of double up on the reminders, too.
Okay.
Yeah. Great. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate
thank
it.
You very thank much. You.
Take care.
You too.
Next item of business, agenda item 7B2, Jeffrey Turner. In short, Mr. Turner's occupational therapy assistant license expired on January 12, 2023. His last reported day of treating clients was February 9th, 2023, and we received the reinstatement application on February 19th, 2023. Mr. Turner provided a detailed explanation of the administrative oversight. But I'd like to give Mr. Turner a chance to address the board at this time, if he would like to do so.
Thank you. So I apologize for allowing my license to lapse. I had set myself a reminder in October, actually, to get my continuing ed done and everything. But we were in the middle of selling a house and getting ready to buy a house. And so I had a lot on my plate, not just with the packing, but doing a lot of home repairs and everything, in addition to the holidays and military service. And so I knew that it was coming up early next year, but I just didn't get it taken care of in time before I realized that I had gone past the deadline.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Any questions from any members of the board?
No. I guess, you know, my only concern is, you know, this is your license and you're the professional. So we can be understanding and things, but, you know, we are a regulatory board. So, you know, we have to make sure, you know, we're within our state statutes. So I would encourage you to have some system and backup, right?
Yes,
we all know life gets crazy at times, right?
Right.
Right. So that's all I had to say. So, Mr. Daly, how do things look on the rubric? Did you do the math?
Yes, I did. And if there's no further discussion, I move that we approve the reinstatement application and issue a letter of concern.
I will second that motion.
It has been moved and seconded that we approve the reinstatement application and issue a letter of concern. All in favor?
Christopher Daly?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Grant McAllister?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Thank you very much, Mr. Turner. You'll receive your reinstatement license. Any questions for us?
No, thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you again.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Next item of business, agenda item 7B3, disclosure from Alicia Stewart. In short, Ms. Stewart provided a self-disclosure regarding falsifying clinical documentation in order to expedite patient hospital discharges for several patients, which ultimately led to her termination of employment. Ms. Stewart did provide a detailed explanation of the circumstances surrounding the incident, and I would like to give Ms. Stewart the opportunity at this time to address the board with further explanation.
Hello, thank you all for having me this afternoon. Is everyone able to hear me okay?
Okay. Yes.
Thank you. My name is Alicia Stewart. I'm an occupational therapist based in Southern Arizona, and I moved here about 2 years ago with a job offer from a hospital called Canyon Vista. I had never worked in the hospital environment before as a new grad and felt motivated to help provide assistance to a community that didn't really have occupational therapy present. I'm someone that believes in the value of occupational therapy and really wanted full services for this place. About a year and a half into this job, around the transition from October into November, I had been regularly meeting with the rehab director for several months at that point to discuss the level of burnout that I was feeling. I met with physicians to educate upon the role of occupational therapy in order to clarify evaluation orders that were coming in because of the large degree of them. And I met with the hospital's risk management officer to discuss the sustainability of my position that was contract-based at the hospital, as I was having doubts for my ability to continue to maintain the high caseload of patients that were occurring at the time. For further context, I was the only full-time OT at the hospital, was working full-time and was on call every weekend and with no days off aside from PTO that I would often choose to take as much as I could just in order to care for my mental health. I'm highly ashamed to say that even with these measures of self-preservation that I, as a practitioner, drifted from a level of ethics that I worked really diligently throughout my student career and freshly budding occupational therapy career to maintain, and that in doing so, I failed myself and the community and most importantly, the patients that I was working with. During the time that I spent working at this hospital, I did oftentimes feel overwhelmed, and I know that that is because of conversations with other therapists, not an anomaly. We as therapists are often put in high stress scenarios, and I fully acknowledge that. I began to burn out worse and worse over time, and I know it was a privilege for me to even be heard in my request for help from administration, but with no sight of change occurring over time, I really just wanted to make it to the end of my contract to get out of that job. My ethical lines became blurred as this happened. And when I got to a point with census, because there were several physical therapists at the facility, they had suggested to me that I, instead of doing a full evaluation, that I write consultations for patients, putting in notes to say that I was essentially like, they would quote unquote screen the patients for me. So rather than completing the time consuming evaluation, I would create an abbreviated note to expedite the process of their discharge, which did come with charging the patient. Did I interrupt someone? I apologize. Okay. And so I did just that because it was seemingly confirmed around me. And on those busiest days before the termination from the hospital occurred, I did allow myself to prioritize patient discharge rather than the evaluation and treatment process that I knew was the right choice. And Without excusing any of my behaviors, I do want to account that I became jaded by the fact that I never had time to provide treatment to any patients themselves. My idea of occupational therapy as a profession became blurred, and I saw myself as a method of providing patient discharge to a setting where patients could get the therapy that they needed rather than being an actual conduit of that therapeutic process itself. I'm sure that anyone who has worked in inpatient therapy services that hears my testimony today will probably not question the realities that I'm describing: high census, fast-paced, not enough time with patients. That's extremely normal, and I recognize that now. I also understand how ill-equipped for this setting I was and how that lack of awareness on my part brought me into a practice setting that I wasn't adequately prepared to show up for. I'm someone that has spent my time throughout grad school as a full-time caregiver for elders and worked diligently throughout my doctorate to develop programs rooted in mental health services and advocacy for the community. And I find resilience in telling you that despite all of the shame and guilt and accountability regarding my prior behaviors, that I've pulled myself out of a place of burnout and into a place where I more clearly understand my roles as a practitioner of occupational therapy. So in my time since termination, I've developed and implemented programming for a local nonprofit outside of licensure, of course, that houses, employs, and serves adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. I've volunteered often on a number of community-based projects and shadowed extensively with home health agencies in the area offering occupational therapy services. I've learned that I'm meant to continue my work in this profession in ways that are collaborative and allow for patient well-being to be in the forefront, and I would love to be able to delve into the home health sector of occupational therapy and deliver truly client-based, client-centered services to folks in this rural community that I'm living in who haven't had access to therapeutic processes in the past that might increase their quality of life. And I share all of this information not to absolve myself of my wrongdoings. I would like you all to know that I don't take it lightly, that I'm having the chance to be heard today, and how deeply I appreciate your open-mindedness and consideration. I am prepared to be fully held accountable, and if there is a process of reparation that you see as fit, I'm willing and able to accept it with gratitude. Thank you for hearing me today.
Thanks very much, Ms. Stewart, especially for your transparency and the accountability you're taking regarding this matter. Are there questions from any board members for Ms. Stewart?
Yes, Mr. Daly. Ms. Stewart, thank you for being here again, and thank you for sharing your perspective and your lessons learned about the situation you were in. Greatly appreciate it. At Canyon Vista, it's noted that you were placed on paid administrative leave, because they were reviewing a patient safety incident that was brought to their attention in November. Would you share with us?
Yes.
What was involved in that incident?
So there wasn't a specific incident in terms of like a patient falling or anything like that. The incident was that I documented that they were evaluated. And then I was carrying forth with the screening process that I mentioned earlier in my statement. So that would, of course, put someone at risk because they weren't receiving a proper evaluation.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I apologize for interrupting, but it's my understanding that the board has received a complaint regarding some of these allegations. And so Ms. Stewart will be officially notified and be given an opportunity to respond to the specific allegations set forth in the complaint. And when the investigation is done, you will have an opportunity to review, you know, these issues. So I think the only question before you this afternoon is if you want to approve the renewal of her license with the understanding that you doing so does not preclude the board, if you think it's appropriate at the end of that complaint investigation, to take any action that you deem appropriate against her license.
Thank you, Mr. Harris.
Yeah, did that make sense?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Ms. Stewart, this is Chris Daly. Just one quick question. Was the consultation note process something that was advocated for by your administration, or was that something that was kind of developed from a clinician perspective?
It was multiple clinicians that I was working with. I did bring it up to my supervisor and our rehab director during those meetings that I mentioned having with her. Unfortunately, we hadn't found a method of being in practice that was going to see all of the patients that were on the caseload throughout that time. So I don't know if that answered your question, but it was primarily other clinicians, which I should have had the discernment to have better judgment in that scenario.
Thank you.
This is Quinn McAllister. So you did this screening process and then wrote up an evaluation based on the information provided in that screener, or did the PTs do the screener?
So the physical therapists that I was working with at the time were screening, quote unquote, screening the patients. And if they were demonstrating that they were independent and didn't need therapy services, that was when I was documenting that I had, that I didn't think that they needed therapy services, and I was writing that in rather than seeing the patient, which I should have.
In a build evaluation.
Yes, it was built differently, but we were in, it was like a different part of Cerner, but yes.
Okay.
This is Charlie March. Based on everything that we've heard and the fact that Mr. Harris has shared that there's an investigation going on, I'd like to make a motion that we postpone the approval of Ms. Stewart's license until the investigation is fully completed.
I would second that motion, Quentin McAllister.
It is moved and seconded that we postpone the license approval until our next board meeting, when we have additional information to decipher from the complaint. All in favor?
Christopher Daly?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Quint McAllister?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Ms. Stewart. We look forward to seeing you again next month.
Thank you. I did want to ask as well if there's a way for me, I guess I found out online when the meeting was last time. Will the link be the same next month, or will I have access to another link to attend that meeting?
This is Vicki. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh. Go ahead, Ms. Ganatra.
It's a unique link, and we will be noticing you, so you will have all that information on how to attend the
meeting. Thank you so much. I appreciate all of your time today.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next item of business, agenda item 8A. I move to ratify the 236 initial renewal and reinstatement applications.
I'll second the motion.
It is moved and seconded that we ratify the 236 initial renewal and reinstatement applications. All in favor?
Christopher Daly?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Quint McAllister?
Aye.
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Our next item of business is agenda item 9. Review, consideration, and possible action, board business and reports. Agenda item 9A, review and discussion regarding practice-related inquiries. And If I may, this is an item that I requested be added to the agenda at our last meeting. So just to provide a bit of additional context, if I may, regarding this item and scope of practice, I believe that the protection of the public requires optimal clarity for occupational therapy practitioners as related to the Arizona rules and statutes. And I wanted to just bring this up to gather any thoughts from other board members regarding establishing a standing subcommittee comprised of the chair, one professional member, and one public member to review scope of practice inquiries, not to respond to them, but in order to keep a pulse on any necessary updates or revisions to our Arizona rules and statutes in order to provide additional clarity to practitioners so they can provide practice to the best of their ability and keeping public safety in our interest. Any thoughts on that from other board members?
I have questions. We would review inquiries from practitioners. The subcommittee would review inquiries, and I got lost on, and then do what? What would be the action from those reviews?
We would compile a repository of scope of practice questions that come in either from professionals or the public regarding scope of practice in order to guide any potential revisions or updates to our rules and statutes that would provide greater clarity if we find there are themes regarding practice area questions that have been coming up. So essentially, it would require probably a directive on the website on how to make a scope of practice inquiry so we could compile those questions for periodic review by the subcommittee.
We would want, as soon as that was discussed through the subcommittee, we would want to have our assistant AG, or Mr. Harris, if that's you moving forward, review those, or whoever that is in that position. I've been down this road a number of times with some of the things that you're looking at to do, Mr. Daly, as well. And the simple fact is when it comes to the government, we are retaining a level of vagueness due to the statutes and its design that way. We are very cautious to give advice. At this point, I think I'll turn that over to Mr. Harris to more collectively say what I'm trying to say.
Sure. No, thank you. And I absolutely appreciate, you know, kind of the spirit of what we're trying to do. And it's not unique with, you know, our agency. All agencies kind of wrestle with that. And I appreciate the recognition that, you know, occasionally, you know, as board members, you know, even outside of the context of the board, you are approached and asked, you know, I don't know, you know, if they're hypothetical situations or real life situations, but asked for your thoughts and the recognition that, you know, the board cannot be our stakeholders' legal advisors. Every situation is unique, and every situation may include or exclude certain key facts that, if a matter ever came before you as a complaint, you would find relevant to the disposition of a case. And generally, rather than have you know, committees designed to kind of be the you know, kind of the gatekeeper of this information, it is, I think, a better practice, and a practice that is shared by your peer boards, to just direct all inquiries to your executive director. As the executive director, one of Shana's you know, tasks is always to kind of keep a running list of not even scope of practice related questions, but any statute or rule related to the practice of occupational therapy, because there may come a time where, you know, statutes and rules need to be modified eliminated or enacted just because, you know, practices change, technologies change, the ways you deliver services change. And that's why I think most agencies or all agencies kind of shepherd those questions and requests for information to board staff. And they're the ones that kind of keep that repository that you were referring to. You know, as Mr. McAllister, you know, said, you know, we just need to be very careful because we never want to become the rationale for anything that comes before the board. You know, that, well, I spoke to and they said that under these circumstances, it would be appropriate to do this. Well, you may have, you know, suggested something out of, you know, goodwill. But the facts were a little bit different than what you understood them to be. Or the facts, when they come before you, were not the facts that you thought you were opining on. Nevertheless, you have to be recused from the case, and then you become a fact, you know, a person that has factual information related to the case. And that's something that we always want to avoid. And that's why it's always best practices to direct those type of inquiries. Again, whether they're related to the scope of practice or anything else that falls under your jurisdiction, to board staff. And if you'd like, you know, I think that's something that, you know, maybe Shane and Shane, I don't want to, you know, task you with anything in addition to what you already have. But maybe this is just something that can, you know, maybe, you know, bi-yearly just be a standing agenda item, so that you can report to the board, and then also just board members can say, hey, you know, we've been dealing with, you know, this particular rule or this particular statute. Maybe we need to take a deeper look at it to see if it truly reflects, you know, the times that we practice in. And that's something that, again, your colleague boards do as well.
That's an excellent suggestion, Mr. Harris.
Thank you, Mr. Harris.
You're welcome.
Any further discussion on this agenda item?
No.
Okay, moving on to agenda item 9B, chairperson's report. 9B1, I just wanted to take this opportunity to make an announcement that considering my new appointment as chair of the Arizona Board of Occupational Therapy Examiners, I have officially resigned from any other leadership position or activity, legislative or otherwise, from the Arizona State Association of Occupational Therapy, in order to mitigate any real or perceived conflicts of interest. And I'm open to taking any questions or comments pertaining to that, but I just wanted to make that statement.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Sure. My pleasure. And then item 9B2, updates on the OT licensure compact. So there's not a whole lot to update just yet. Everything is really still in the works in terms of all of what's required to really implement the compact across all of our states now. So just a couple of quick updates. So I am the liaison for Arizona for the OT compact. And I'm doing some volunteer work on their communications committee. So there will be an update coming out very soon to all of the state boards who are involved with the OT compact in terms of timeline and important information. But for right now, it's really kind of status quo, just working to get things where they need to be to start the implementation process. So we're still a ways out from that being actually implemented. And there are no action items at this time for our board pertaining to the OT compact. I'm also happy to entertain any questions pertaining to that.
Do you have an end goal time-wise when you want that to be up and running, or are you just...
The goal has been stated as 18 months, and that was as of a few months ago. So it is probably, the timeline is probably between 1 to 1.5 years if all goes well. And I'm hoping I'll have a better pulse on that for the update for next meeting.
Okay. Thanks, Chris.
Sure. Okay, moving on. Our next item of business, agenda item 9C, Executive Director's Report.
Thank you, Chairman. So item 9C1, Financial Review. I provided the report for review. There were no big expenses in February to account for, and no upcoming big expenses for the next few months. We remain in the black. Any questions on that? Okay, item 9C2. Currently, board staff are working a hybrid model, 2 to 3 days a week, and we remain working from home the remaining days. And we've received an increase in submitted applications that we're processing. In addition, I have some, I guess you could call good news. I am planning to transfer all of our meetings moving forward, or at least attempt to trial Google Meets. So I wanted to see if that will be a better option for our board and transition away from WebEx. If it does work well, the platform works well for our board, then we'll maintain Google Meets moving forward. But we will see if that does meet our needs as a board.
Okay. Are there some technical issues with WebEx that you're experiencing, or?
Well, Google Meets is included with our state services. And I believe, I'm finding out from finances currently, but I believe we do pay an additional fee for WebEx. I'm not entirely sure.
Okay.
Google Meets allows us to record the meeting internally and gives us a transcript, which I'm more familiar with Google Meets than I am with WebEx. I don't entirely know if WebEx offers that option. And it's a little bit easier to send invites, be able to invite people through the Google Meets process versus WebEx.
Okay.
Can you remove and add people in Google Meets pretty easily?
You can. So I'm learning the process from another executive director to see how she's currently running on Google Meets effectively. And she houses two meetings. So one would be an executive session meeting and one would be a regular meeting. And those in the regular meeting would stay as participants, and then the executive session meeting, we would all join in and do our meeting there. So we're working out the details for next month, but I wanted to just put it on your radar that it's something we're trialing. We will not get rid of WebEx. Should Google Meets not meet our needs, we will still have WebEx for some time just to make sure. It's a little bit of a transition, I understand, so might be some getting used to, but it will help us as board staff to be able to track minutes and we get a transcript, which is really nice to be able to review after the meeting and write up the minutes and whatnot.
Absolutely. Well, and one thing about us, we're always up for a new adventure, right?
Yes.
Sure.
We use Google Meets in my school district and it's less than pleasant.
Oh, so. What? Did you say less than pleasant?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Well, so. We may have to meet after and talk about that.
Well, going on 3 weeks where I haven't been able to use my microphone on my district-provided computer. So.
Ew.
Oh, no.
I don't know.
That's frustrating.
Could be the computer. But. Hopefully. Hopefully. Anyway, my apologies. Continue.
No, no, you're fine. We currently, all meetings we use internally are Google Meets, actually. WebEx is only used just for board meetings, so, you know.
Oh, okay.
It's interesting. They've actually removed WebEx from a lot of state agencies and gone directly to Google Meets, but that was just a Go Google initiative, I believe, from a couple years ago. So, but we will see. We don't have to be stuck on it if it doesn't work. Okay. 9C3 statistics. We currently have 4,556 current licensees. Any questions? Okay. If I may, Chairman, I would like to move to item 10 and provide some discussion on that. Perfect. So that's
please.
Okay, thank you. Open discussion on occupational therapy statutes and rules. So we did meet as a subcommittee, and at our last meeting on February 24th, 2023, we determined that monthly meetings were appropriate moving forward. So our next meeting is scheduled for March 24th, 2023 at 2 p.m. And I will be mass emailing all licensees to invite them to be able to participate if they choose. And that invite will be sent out today. And we do not have any big updates at this time to share. Thank you. No questions?
No questions on that from the other board members?
Nope.
No?
All right. And I would also like to take this opportunity once again just to recognize Dr. McAllister and all of the work that he did back in 2015 with the rules revisions and the matrix that was created. We are using that as a template this many years later, and they actually captured back in 2015 a lot of what is proposed with the new AOTA Model Practice Act. So Dr. McAllister was very forward-thinking back in 2015. I just wanted to recognize him for his work on that venture.
Appreciate that. It's just a small piece of the group that put in many hours. So,
well, we appreciate your work, Dr. McAllister.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Moving on to our next item of business, agenda item 11. Are there any agenda items for our next board meeting?
I have none to add.
I do not either.
Considering there are no agenda items, moving on to our next item of business, agenda item 12, call to the public. Are there any public participants with us today who would like to address the board? Considering that there are no public members who would like to address the board, and since there is no further business, I move to adjourn the board meeting.
I thought Barbara was going to, I'm sorry, I thought Ms. Paulson was going to second us off. So I'll second the motion.
Chairman,
no,
I was trying to go.
If you could just give us the time, the end date of the inn.
I'm trying to practice my official business here. It is moved and seconded that the meeting be adjourned at 2:25 p.m. All in favor?
Oh, Christopher Daly.
Aye.
Charlie Marbs.
Aye.
Quint McAllister.
Aye.
Barbara Paulson.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. The meeting is adjourned at 2:25 p.m.